Welcome back to the Hustle Podcast. I'm your host, Anthony Armendariz, head of design and partner at Funsize. And I'm here today with my friend, May Reed, a local Austin interaction designer. What's up, May?
Hey, how's it going?
Going pretty good. Awesome. I usually do this on Friday, so for some reason it feels like Friday, but it's only Monday.
Yeah.
That's because I messed up when we scheduled last week. A little bit about May. May's an interaction designer at Rackspace. She is an organizer at a group called Fresh to Design, which is an awesome local design meetup. I'll let you tell people about that. And she is also an instructor or teacher at Girl Develop It. May, why don't you say a little? Why don't you tell us a little about yourself and what your world looks like and what you're up to these days?
Sure. Yeah. So I've been interested and into design. It feels like always, not always. Knowing that I was, but these days I'm doing interaction design at Rackspace, like you said, which has been a really great transition from going to like small shop agency work to much larger enterprise design. It's been a really surprisingly fantastic transition. And then also organizing for Fresh to Design, which has been great. I've always been really interested in community, attending meetups since I started college and really developing those types of relationships and networking. That's actually how we met. But the Fresh to Design meetup is aimed at people who are new to Austin or new to design in general. Also, as part of that in the tech industry, like developers as well. But our goal is just to open up doors. Because sometimes it can be really hard to find your footing in this market. I think it's kind of saturated and tough to meet people. And so we just want to create a way for people to come in and really network and meet people like them within the community, as well as people who have been in the industry for a long time and can maybe give some pointers or tips or something like that. So we do monthly happy hours, super informal, just get togethers to get to know everybody. And then also things like workshops and educational events. I think one of the next ones we have coming up is with Atlassian, talking about UX design and getting into some of the details on that. So that's pretty exciting.
That's awesome. I've been to one or two of the events, and several people I work with and know have had a really good time being a part of that. And it's, I think it's awesome what you're doing for the community. I mean, you're right. It is really hard. I mean, hey, it's even hard for people that aren't new to, you know, navigate the space and, you know, open new doors. And that's really awesome what you're doing. I think this has been a recurring theme on this show, but I think one of the things that Austin has always had is a great tech community. And we do have a great design community. It's just that jobs are just now starting to open up, and now it's getting really competitive to get those jobs, you know, especially to fill those jobs with local talent versus importing them in from other cities. So I think what you're doing there is really important.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm sorry, cut you off. Go ahead.
No worries. I was going to say it's interesting too, because I just had a friend ask me about what design meetups are in Austin, and I kind of fell short. I was like, well, there's Dribbble, Fresh to Design. And then I was kind of struggling to find some good design meetups. So I think the more that we can create those types of communities, the better.
Yeah, for sure. Totally. What about Girl Develop It?
So, yeah, GDI is a nonprofit organization and really geared towards women. But of course, everyone is welcome. But it's just a judgment-free zone for women to learn about web and software development. To really get a handle on how to code. So we do very informal, typically weekend classes over a variety of subjects and experience levels. So everything from beginning HTML, CSS to advanced JavaScript and all the in-betweens. So it's just a nice way for people who aren't familiar with coding or maybe don't know where to get started to have a kind of more classroom setting and get help on where to start.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah. So between doing those two things, you're a full-time interaction designer at Rackspace. You said earlier that, you know, and I know your story, and you moved from a very, very small independent design studio to Rackspace, which is a huge enterprise. And you said that the experience was surprising. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So, I think one of my favorite things about being in a startup is it's very fast paced. You get to work on, and especially an agency startup, you get to work on lots of different projects, turnover of like designs that you're working on are going out the door really quickly, and it can be really fun and invigorating. But with the size of the startup that I was at, there were only six of us. And so as you would expect, you had to wear lots of different hats in order to make sure that everything was being done. And so I was designing, I was developing, I was helping another designer work things out for her stuff. And then also learning more advanced coding technologies. So they were teaching me some like back-end stuff. I was mostly just doing front-end development. And so I was kind of a jack of all trades and doing all the things all the time. And whenever I got the opportunity to work at Rackspace, I was a little apprehensive about it because, you know, that stigma of the corporate machine and the man's horrible, what have you. And it's actually been the opposite experience from what I was expecting. They've, like, everybody's been very open, and there's lots of mentorship programs, and they have leadership training and all of these wonderful ways to advance your knowledge and kind of help you move your career forward. And I think that's one of the reasons why Rackspace has not as much attrition as you might expect. A lot of the people that have been working there have been there for 10 or 5 to 10 years, a couple of 15 years and stuff like that. And so it's been a really nice unexpected transition into that enterprise world. And honestly, even though I've been working on the same project now for about 6 months, the problems that we're solving are still so complex because at an enterprise level, the scalability and kind of creating these widgets that can fit into a lot of different products still creates like a really great challenge. So I'm never bored either.
Yeah, well, nice. I mean, and even though you're, you know, not splitting your time between design and development, from what I understand, you're still doing a variety of design activities and being able to grow and do outcomes in different things like research strategy and interaction design and visual design, and even, you know, you mentioned motion graphics and all this other stuff. So it seems like in the right enterprise setting, with the right sort of logistics and team dynamics, you can probably still get a different flavor of diversity.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's been really great so far.
I also think that people don't give enterprise design enough credit. Mm-hmm. There's so much opportunity in that space, I think. And I don't know. I hope...
Yeah. No, I totally agree. I think there's kind of this, I don't know if this is common for everybody, but I know whenever I was fresh coming out of school, I kind of had this stigma attached to being an in-house designer, like it was a faux pas or something, and that the only way to go would be like agency or startup in order to learn and grow and develop. And I think that's just not necessarily the case. I mean, obviously there are probably some larger companies that might not be the best, but in my experience, at least, it's been pretty lucrative for my knowledge and breadth of experience.
It's also interesting too, because on your particular like career curve, you started out in an agency world. So not only did you learn how to move fast and wear multiple hats, but you also learned and deployed customer service and you know, presenting design to stakeholders and all of that kind of stuff, which I assume has to be extremely valuable in a team like you're on. I mean, you have your own customers too. I mean, and that level of understanding, like, of the problems outside of just the output is very important.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd agree.
So, it sounds like things are awesome there. I mean, I don't, if you can't talk about it, we can skip it, but what can you say about the kind of things you're working on?
So I think the biggest thing that we're focused on right now is creating a unified voice of Rackspace. We've been going through a lot of transitions and have acquired a lot of different products. And Rackspace is really great about encouraging people to solve their own problems, which is awesome whenever you're in this big industry and trying to find a thing and you can't, and then they give you the opportunity to kind of do it yourself. But the problem with that is now we have lots of scattered and different solutions to solve the same types of problems. So now we're trying, now that we're 6,000 plus people, it's just not working anymore. And so we're, as from the design perspective, we're trying to unify it, both on the Racker side, which is what we call our employees at Rackspace, and also from the customer side. It's kind of a unique problem because we have outfacing customers and internal customers, because we are a supported cloud company. So you can set up a server and then we manage the server for you. So part of our job is to make sure that customers and Rackers can communicate effectively, and having all these different types of software that look and feel and say different things was creating more confusion than anything. So that's what we're trying to solve now.
Okay, so that's interesting. I don't know why, but I just assumed that you were on like a product team, like focusing on one product, but it sounds like what you are is like a design team that supports various Rackspace teams, which if I had to imagine, that could include all the consumer stuff, IT and support products, an entire range. So in a way, you're kind of like a services group for Rackspace. Does that sound right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's an interesting take on it. I think one of the best examples I've seen is if you think of like Intuit systems, they have Quicken Books, Mint.com. They're also something else. But if you go to each one of those login screens, the design is the same. Like they, Mint.com's login is unique to Mint, and Quicken Books is unique to Quicken. But they're similar enough that you can tell that they're all Intuit customers or companies.
Right.
And so that's what we're trying to do is even though we have these multiple products, we want to make sure that no matter which one you're in, you know that you're at Rackspace.
Okay. So that, that means, you know, interaction design paradigms, look and feel. I assume that also means like voice and tone.
Absolutely. Yes.
That, and that's interesting because I know the company that you were at, ended up making a big pivot into doing bots and conversational UI. Mm-hmm. What is it like, you know, does, I mean, I'm just asking because I don't really personally have the experience in creating voice and tone from a writing perspective. What can you say about, you know, the other folks out there that are in similar positions and how they can level up their skills to be able to create these, this, the, these unified, the unified design, but be able to figure out the voice and tone?
So one of the things that we've been doing on my team specifically is we have kind of these strategy meetings, and I'm on the communications team, appropriately enough. But we're trying to come up with a strategy for how we want communications at Rackspace to work. Now, this is like just for our team, big picture, the sky's the limit, kind of, here's how we think things should work, in order to basically spread the word and get people interested in what we're doing, other teams at Rackspace interested in what we're doing. And I think the most important part about this is that we have clear strategies and a common goal for the things that we're going to output. And I think the hardest one of those is voice and tone, because there are so many people that are, like, because we are customer support, right? And there are so many people that are talking to our customers every single day. Getting everyone on the same page as far as how we do that is a really big challenge, but a fun one. And I think starting with visual language is kind of the most important, but then also creating ways for, like, them to write to customers, like using templates that are using a certain voice. And then once you use and read those templates enough, eventually I think you'll, when you're in that zone, that work headspace, you'll eventually start naturally picking up on some of those things.
Well, that's awesome. Thanks for that. So why don't you tell us a little bit about how your team is structured and how you guys work together to uncover opportunities, design solutions, and even react to problems that you're having, and work together to do great work.
Absolutely. So one of the things that we actually encountered recently, there's me and another designer on my team specifically, and we were going through write testing. So we're having to rapidly iterate on these mock-ups after one day of user testing and to get it ready for the next round. And as we were going through this, we were finding lots of issues with passing off our files, especially using things like Sketch. If you're using something like, I don't know, a shared folder on Dropbox or like Google Drive, it has like this tendency to create duplicates, and it like says conflict at the end. So we ended up with all these files, all these unnamed artboards, and just really bad overall design practice, like design 101, name all your layers, right?
Right.
And so afterwards, we took a second, literally just had like an hour meeting, because we both recognized that it wasn't the best way to interact and work together. And we were able to come up with kind of a design process for our entire Rackspace design team. We put out like certain naming conventions, like mm-hmm. this is how things should be. Also using, I don't know if you've used the shared folder on Envision through Envision Sync, but that was doing research into the tools that we were already using and then finding ways to get rid of like that conflict at the end of all of our Sketch files, yep. while still both being able to work in them at the same time, was really helpful. So we were able to prescribe this process that now everybody within our design team can use.
That's always been a big deal for me, but then again, I'm extremely OCD. I was always the kind of person that refuse to even touch a file or a folder until it was like completely organized. And I don't really think things have to be like over the top, but I believe if you just spend a little bit of time to get things together, the long-term return on investment can be immense.
It's huge, right? I think it's so important. And I am also a stickler, but we were on a time crunch, so had to just kind of go with it. But I think it saves so much time, even if you're working in your own file and you're familiar with the layers, not having like 20 artboard 2 copies
right.
can be really useful, right?
Yeah, I mean, and then down to the layers, because, you know, especially when you're using a tool like Sketch, when it's so easy to output assets,
mm-hmm.
We encountered this a while back. One of the first projects a year or two ago when we were using Sketch, we had two designers working on the same product, one for iOS and one for Android. And the way that they named the layers are so different. So then we had to go all the way back and revise the naming conventions on all the layers just so we could get an output of consistent assets, icons yeah. and stuff like that. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, I think that stuff is pretty important. And I think that if you can create a simple framework, you can save a lot of time and decision making and just focus on what you're trying to work on. I mean, not that this is like a big topic for this episode, but I'm curious. Can you tell a little bit more about the Envision Sync folder? I'm actually not as familiar with that. And I'm kind of curious if that's easier to work with than like a Dropbox folder for Envision specifically.
I love it. So it syncs everything to Envision. So they have, like, I don't know if you've noticed the tabs, there's like prototypes and one of them is assets.
Right.
I can't remember the other two. But in that assets folder, it has your versions of your Sketch file saved. So you can do an autosave and it'll just autosave all these different versions. So you can still access older ones, or you can turn it off so you can have more control. I prefer doing that. So I have like a V1, V2 rather than one every 2 minutes or something. But it also, you can put it directly into your Finder or Explorer window and sync directly to your desktop. So you don't even have to open a web browser to access those files. As long as you know like which prototype you need to work with, you can open Sketch directly from there. And it also will export all of your assets to that file as well. So the screens that you're using will be exported, and if the name of the screen is the same, it'll automatically update them inside of your prototype for you. So no more exporting to like JPEG or PNG and then right. uploading to the prototype individually.
Well, also our sponsor Envision will love that plug that you just gave.
I also really appreciate Envision's craft plugin. I like Elena, the other designer on my team, and I are every time we see something new in Envision, we always joke like they're listening to our chats. I know it, because as soon as we complain about a thing, something comes out that fixes it. My only request would be that their new Jira issues sync isn't just for Jira Cloud, because we don't have that. But it would be very useful.
All right. Clark from Envision, did you hear that?
Please and thank you.
All right. So, you know, last but not least, you've had the job of being a designer and a developer, and now you're focusing on design. And I know that it's important to you on, you know, working with developers in the right way. What's your viewpoint on designers and developer relationships, and how do you think people can work better together to do great work?
I think it's so important that both parties are involved from the very beginning. Even before requirements are defined, I think having a sit down and talking through the project, what kind of the outcomes might be and expectations are going to be are detrimental to having a successful launch. I know that in my experience, having the devs involved with like the very first kind of, here are the first round of mock-ups that we've done, and going through and making sure that all of the requirements are met and any questions, like, because, you know, as you're designing wireframes, questions pop up. And so it makes it really easy to automatically address them and say, is this something I should be worried about, or is it even possible? Like, I don't know how the back end works. Can you explain it to me? Makes things so much easier, because there's no doing like this surprise, we've done all the user testing and these are ready for you to start developing, and then they come back with all of these questions like, well, what about this part? Or I can't make this happen because of ABC. All the expectations are already set from the get-go, and there's no like major pivots that have to be made later on, wasting a bunch of time.
Do you guys ever do paired developing or paired designing?
What do you mean?
Well, I've seen different flavors of this, but I guess, and you know, simply what I mean is sitting at the same computer working on the same task together, like two designers or a designer and a developer.
Sorry.
I was just saying, like, I've seen people do it where it's just two designers working on a problem, and I've also seen it where we do a lot of this, like just a designer paired with an engineer on implementation. But then I've also seen it where a developer is sitting at a designer's computer while they design, like, you know, making some of those decisions together.
So most of our team is remote, so we don't do a whole lot of that. I think the closest thing is we'll go through demos together. So we do it early on with just prototypes that we've been working on and building, and talk through some of the design decisions, and vice versa. The developers will show us a demo, and we'll be able to kind of help drive that their direction as well. But I think the remote part makes it a little bit more difficult to have that sort of shadowing design aspect.
Yeah, the remote aspect can get difficult. I don't know how you guys do that, but it takes time to get that right. But I think if you can get it right, it would work pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely.
On the way that you guys design and develop, are you guys using a certain flavor of Agile or Scrum or Kanban or Lean? Like, how do you guys work on the project management aspect of it?
So we have a dedicated project manager that acts as kind of our liaison for stakeholders most of the time. We definitely have meetings with stakeholders, but during like the main part of our work, he's talking with them. But the rest of us, we're working in an agile way. So we're very communicative and making sure that we're always a little bit ahead of the developers. I think that goes without saying. But we're pretty much on the same page the whole time. And if there are any questions or anything like that, there are usually meetings set up of, hey, just want you to be aware of this. This is happening. Not sure where it's going to go yet, but thought it should be on your radar kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, from your experience, what do you think the biggest difference is between, you know, like doing quote unquote agile in an agency client service environment and doing it in house in a product team is? What can someone like Funsize? How can Funsize maybe learn how to and do that better based on the way teams are working in house?
So I think one of my biggest things would be open communication with your client, because I know you guys are just design focused, and so I think even from my point of view, whenever I was working at an agency and I was working on the design and then developing, I was automatically kind of segmenting it into two parts, and I think opportunities or even certain concerns can get missed in that, that you may not be aware of. And there are lots of things just, like our biggest focus right now is we're working on workflows for navigation. And there are all of these pieces to the back end that we don't necessarily know the details about, but making sure that line of communication is open between our developers is key to making sure that it's successful. So I think having a really good understanding of what their expectations are Like, what are they expecting to get out of it? And then also having a general view of how their code works. In the beginning, we were working on this notification center, and we were having this huge debate over whether or not it was going to be called notifications or messages, because on the back end, it's called messages. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it seems like a really little thing, but it was like an important conversation to have because it led into these other broader questions for how we're going to communicate with our customers what this thing does. And that was really important to have because they already had an idea that it was going to be called messages, and we had an idea that it was going to be called, I think, notifications at the time, or alerts even. So it all comes around eventually. It's just, and it probably would have been brought up much later in the process, but having that from the get-go and having a kind of unified understanding of what we were trying to present to the customer, I think was really detrimental to the success of the project.
So in summary, it's kind of about how communication is key, right?
Absolutely.
How you're communicating with other designers about the goals, how you're organizing your files and communicating the design artifacts themselves, how you're communicating stories, how you're communicating with your team to overcome issues, how you're communicating with developers. I think, and we talked about this, I mean, I really do believe that communication is the most critical thing for skills for designers to have.
Absolutely. And open communication too, yeah. Because even if somebody comes out and they're like, this is awful and here's why, then at least you know, and you're not like approving all the development and saying, yes, we're ready to go out the door. And then somebody's like, what the hell is this?
Right? Yeah.
Absolutely. Especially if it can be avoided earlier.
Well, that's awesome. So we're hitting November, and 2016 is coming to an end soon. What do you hope to accomplish by the end of the year?
Well, our launch date is set for November 15th on this project that I've been on. So I'm hoping that has no hiccups. It's kind of a big one. Other than that, we're our Fresh to Design page. We're about to hit 1,000 members.
Whoa.
Which is also very exciting. Yeah, right. and so I'm hoping that that'll happen before 2017 rolls around, because that means in less than 2 years, we got up to 1,000 members, which is pretty exciting.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So I know a lot of local people listen to the Hustle podcast, and thanks everyone for listening to it. Mm-hmm. If anyone is interested in getting involved in Fresh to Design to either join or to potentially sponsor, how would they do that?
You could get in touch with me. My email is mayreed@me.com. And you can also check us out on Meetup. We're at meetup.com, and it's Fresh the number 2 Design, not T-O, but the number 2. And you can also contact us there. And yeah, we'd be more than happy to book you out in advance. We have sponsors through February, but it's a really good place to find fresh people if that's what you're looking for. We have tons of members, so yeah.
Awesome. And just, you know, between you and I mean, if you ever want to use the new Fun Size office for hackathons or workshops or even small events, we'd be happy to donate our space.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm sure that we will use it because we have lots of plans for 2017 already, so it's going to be pretty exciting.
Awesome. Well, May, thanks again for making time out of your busy day to chat with me. As always, it's a pleasure to speak with you.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Yeah, yeah. How can people find you on the interwebs and connect with you personally?
Yeah, so again, my email's good. I'm also on Twitter at Maybees, M-A-E-B-E-E-S. Or just, I don't know, anywhere on Slack. if you're local on the ATX Built site, I'm on there.
Awesome. Well, thanks again, May. Have a good day, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Anthony.
Bye-bye. This episode of Hustle is brought to you by Envision. design better, faster, together. Learn more at envisionapp.com. Hustle is brought to you by Funsize, a digital product design studio that crafts delightful digital user experiences with inspiring product companies. Follow us at HustleCast and Funsize on Twitter.